This summer, we have been digging into some practices that shape us to look, love, and lead more like Jesus. So far, we did generosity, right? And that one really challenged me. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not exactly great at generosity. And last week, we just finished off solitude. And Kathy, I heard, did an excellent job. I wasn't around. Yeah. I wasn't around. I was at camp with our youth, which was an amazing experience. We had a great time. We got to meet with God and have just a fun time at sports. But I saw a couple clips, and it was amazing. She was on the socials. Wow. And I think she did an amazing job. But this week, we're going to be moving into a new practice, actually. We're stepping away from doing the solitude, and we're going into Scripture. And so to start off this sermon, I actually wanted to just go over a little story that was given to me. And so I just take a second, kind of close your eyes, and imagine a 16th century scene, okay? There's this scholar, this guy, in a dimly lit room, and he is writing. He's writing and writing, right? He is translating the Bible into English, knowing that every single letter that he writes could actually lead to his death. It could cost his life. This man, which some of you may recognize the name, is William Tyndale. This was William Tyndale's reality. And his impact was so great that, like, there's Bibles that just have his name, Tyndale, on there. They were devoted to the impact that he had. So in 1520 England, reading Scripture in English was completely illegal. It was deemed too dangerous because the church and state believed and feared the power of to challenge authority. Tyndale, who was fluent in Greek and Hebrew, believed that every follower of Jesus deserved and should read the Bible, God's word, in their own language. And so from exile in Germany, he smuggled 18,000 Bibles into England. Secret gatherings all over were formed just to hear Scripture read aloud. Often, they were hearing it for the first time. King Henry VIII, enraged, burned about 6,000 of those Bibles and made distributing Bibles a capital crime. Tyndale was captured and burned at the stake, praying, "Lord, open the king's eyes." 3 years later, the same king funded an English Bible. And when I was reading that story, it just starts to make me wonder, what are we missing today? What are we, as we walk through our lives, failing to understand about God's word? Even in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "You are the lamp to my feet and the light to my path." It's highlighting its importance. Your word is the lamp, right? Now let me share some stats just to give you an idea. There have been studies that show that 78% of North America owns a Bible. They have a Bible. Now, and that's not a small number. For perspective, that is like 480 million people. That's so many people. That's crazy. But the people who actually read the Bible regularly drops down to a shocking 9%. 9%. That is crazy. Tyndale died at the stake to smuggle a fraction of that number, right? Just to the public. And we have Bibles sitting in the dust. What do we not understand? What did the rulers see that made them feel the need to burn them? What did Tyndale see that made him believe that it was worth dying for to make these available? Well, they understood that it was not just a book, right? It's a gateway to God's heart. Jesus started to kind of paint this picture for us in Matthew 5, verse 17 to 19. It says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside the least of these commandments and teachings and teaches others accordingly, will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, with that reading in mind, that's scripture, right? Jesus, we could tell, held scripture as an important part of his ministry. He did not see it as old text, right? He really believed in the transformative power of scripture. It was important that day as it was when it was written. It was an integral part of our faith walk. And he saw it as a consistent living word of God. Scripture was not optional, but fundamental and foundational to his life and mission. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he would constantly support that idea. In John 10, 35, he says, "Scripture cannot be broken." And in Mark 12, 24, he challenges leaders, "Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God?" For Jesus, scripture, again, was God's living voice. As followers of Jesus, our goal is to become more like him, to do as he did. Right? And he had a special relationship with scripture. We could see it throughout his whole walk. And this is something that we actually have the privilege of accessing. This is not something that was completely exclusive to Jesus. This is something that we have access to as his followers. And with that in our minds, we can start to understand scripture is not only meant to be read as a story or an instruction manual. Because if that was the case, you could probably read through it once, twice, and then you could kind of get this general understanding. Maybe, oh, you come up into a problem. You're like, ah, there's a verse for that one somewhere, probably on page like 2000. I don't know, right? And you could just diagnose your problem, right? If that was the case. But it's really meant to be read with an open heart. When you open up that book, it is meant for you to absorb the heart of God that is being displayed to you. It is more than just knowledge. And I believe that's part of the reason why the Bible goes unread sometimes. You could pick up the Bible and you can open up to a verse, and I don't know about you, but I pick it up and it's like calling me out. I'm like, oh my goodness, Jesus, what the heck are you saying to me right now? That's too personal. I'm just shook. I'm like, wow, that is exactly word for word what I'm doing right now, right? And it convicts you. If you have the Spirit in you, it convicts you to your core to be transformed, right? It's pushing you to grow and become more like Jesus, right? And that's not a bad thing. The Spirit is not guilting you, but he's pushing for opportunity. He's showing you that there is more for you in life. We can find ourselves often searching for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I know I've sat there and I've been like, God, where are you guiding me? Holy Spirit, where is your voice? What do you want me to do? Like, what's the next step? And I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm just waiting for that like little whisper, right? And yet the whole time, I'm failing to take a single peek into the book. I'm failing to take a single look. Let me tell you, if you want to hear what the Spirit has to tell you about change, like how you can change, what you can do to become more like Jesus, just take like, I don't know, half an hour in the epistles with an open heart, and I tell you, he will speak to you. You will hear him. It'll be like clear as day. It'll be like, wow, that is literally my situation. And the moments where you hear it and it's calling out to you to an uncomfortable degree, again, the Spirit is not shaming you. He's not going, look, that's your problem. That's how you fail me, right? Because we do, we feel that. We fail. But it's actually him being like, I want to guide you to that next step, to where you can grow. The Bible is a tangible, is the tangible, available, living voice of God. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like probably one of the greatest tools at the Holy Spirit's disposal to be able to impact our lives and our walk with Christ. And we're just often ignoring it. If you want to know his living, relational, and loving voice and what it sounds like, you can just peek into the Bible. Again, the Scripture has it all there laid out for you. How much he loves you. There are so many verses that tell you how much he loves you. There are so many verses that tell you what our mission is. So many. And with that understanding, hold on, I jumped ahead on my page here. Okay. And then, you know, with that, we could even see the Scripture, what it says. What it says. When we read the author, the Holy Spirit is with us. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Living and active. That is not like a then thing. The word is living and active today. God's voice, what he says in the word, is throughout all time. It's constant. And with this understanding, I can see the statistic that I said earlier about the 9% of people reading Scripture regularly. And I just don't find myself shocked. I don't know about you, but I don't find myself surprised, because I truly believe that if us, all of us, all of Christians or all of North America, and even just in Cornwall, and even just this church, were to read the Bible regularly with an open heart, we would be seeing a massive revival. Amen. A huge revival. Just look. Like, because when we read the Bible with an open heart, it will always lead us to reflect and look more like Jesus. It just always will happen. And with, just look at Luke. Look at Luke, where the disciples, after Jesus explained the Scriptures, they exclaim, were our hearts not burning within us while he opened the Scriptures? Their hearts were burning within them. When we open our hearts to the Word, it can set our heart ablaze and it can change us in dramatic ways. Now, we know this, right? This has been spoken. But the real challenge comes with doing it. We can know that the Scripture is impactful and that it changes our hearts, but how hard is it to actually do it? How hard is it to read regularly? And the real challenge comes from the way that our culture is subtly conforming us. We live in a world that makes everything about efficiency. Just look around you, how fast we can get from A to B. We have cars, right? That's a small example, but we have fast food, drive-thrus. You don't even have the time to stop and talk. You gotta just get to the drive-thru, you like tell somebody your order, you can't see them, and then you get to the window and they just give it to you, and you move on, right? Look at our entertainment. It's in our pockets at all time. It's there. We can have it in a second at the tap of our fingers. We could be entertained. We could see anything we want to see. All the way over to our work, where it's all about project turnover rates. How fast can we get this thing done? But when we come to read the scripture and be transformed by it, we are called to slow down and just take a moment and really absorb and be transformed by his word. Fight the fleshly desire of haste and take it really in. Scripture is to be treasured, not checked off a list. I just look. I said I was not surprised at the statistic. I just see how often guilty in my own life, how much time I spent on my phone, just looking at social media or the news. And, you know, I see the spreading of death. And yeah, I see good things. I see the Lord moving. But the news is about wars and conflict and this person offending this person and drama. And I find it interesting that we spend so much time on our phones and yet we wonder why we feel that God is so quiet. I wonder why we feel that God is so quiet in our lives. And I think it's because we're depositing more of the world into our lives than we are God's word. Like, the more time we spend just to absorb God's word, the more we'll start to reflect him. And it applies the same to the world. The more time you spend digging into what the world has for you, you will look like the world. Now, reading scripture the way we've been talking about today looks a lot like approaching the word as an apprentice. Not a scholar or a skeptic. I know it's really easy to sometimes open up that word and just want to extrapolate it and start to build up your knowledge base. Right? You look on the internet and you see those guys who are at like colleges or like on podcasts and they're debating and they are like slam dunking the atheist or the other guy on across the table, and you're like, man, I want to have that knowledge base to be able to do that, right? And it's so tempting to just sit there and want to study it just for the sake of knowing, right? But we are to approach it as an apprentice, that we are to be taught, walked alongside. We're going from point A to point B with God at his pace, right? And we are trying to reflect him, not learn everything, the nitpicky parts of the word. It's good to know those things, right? We're to learn what the word has to say, but we're also to start to be transformed by it. And if you're looking at it just as a skeptic or just for knowledge, it's a lot harder to be transformed. And so it has a lot less to do about facts and a lot more to do with actively listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit as you're sitting there and reading. We are not reading his word alone when we open up that book. We are under the teaching and guidance of the Spirit. It's not about the quantity that we read. Just like learning any new skill, it's about the consistency, right? And so with this all fresh in our minds, how do we actually start this practice, reading scripture, right? Making it something that is continually transforming us. It's, well, not that complex, but it requires a lot of intentionality. Just like growing any habit always has been, it starts with the small, faithful steps. And scripture is no different. We also don't need to take those steps alone, right? It can be looking like reading, 5 minutes of the Bible a day, but that 5 minutes doesn't have to be completely alone. You can spend those 5 minutes reading and have a plan with someone where, you meet up and you talk, oh, what did you read about in this verse, right? You both took 5 minutes, read the same verse. What did you read in that verse, right? We have the awesome opportunity of technology, right? We spoke about it, the negatives, but it comes with positives. We are connected like never before as a church. Us as a church, we have this tool at our disposal to be able to meet and talk even when we are hundreds of kilometers apart, right? We could still have community. And so work together to make a rhythm of life out of the transformational power of Scripture. It's not about perfection of reading Scripture. It's not about getting it perfect every time, but it's about consistently showing up to hear God's voice. And so here are three steps, invitations to begin. So invitation one is to read Scripture daily with intention. So commit 5 minutes, just like I said, each morning, open up the Bible. And before you start, just like pray for a second and just be like, Lord, speak to me through this moment. Just really speak to me. And then read slowly. Every word, let it kind of brush over your mind and start to, how does that affect you? What does it say to you, right? To start, you can even use our HeartStrong reading plan or open up a psalm or a gospel. They're really nice spots to start. And just imagine Jesus there with you in that moment, the Holy Spirit working with you. Just as Dallas Willard said, come to the passage that you are reading as a place where you can have a holy meeting with God. The Holy Spirit is guiding you in that moment. And so consistency will build that habit. Invitation two, read with your heart, not with your head. This is something I've been speaking throughout the whole thing. It isn't about the facts, but the formation. I believe it's a real danger to your faith to only read it for knowledge. The world praises intelligence and pushes for a skeptical view. The world does not like trust. Trust is scary, right? But Jesus did not exemplify this. He stepped away from that typical, like, scholarly view. And he focused more on the heart of the individual that is reading it. As you read, notice what stirs up in you, a word, a phrase, or an emotion. Pause and ask, what are you saying, Lord? And then let the Spirit highlight the truths for your life. And then the last invitation, invitation three. Trust Scripture because you trust Jesus. Jesus saw Scripture as God's living voice, and it still is. It's consistently, constantly, always will be God's living voice, as he said in the Scripture, until the heavens and the earth are gone, not one letter will disappear. Not the smallest letter. And so that means that even to this day, those words are truth. So even if you have questions that linger, let your trust in him guide you to trust his word. As you read, you're not just learning, you're being formed into a kingdom person, as Matthew 5:19 suggests, to be great into the kingdom of heaven. And so, as we go, let's pray that the Lord will just begin to form those habits in our life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for what you had to say today about your Scripture. That the Holy Spirit is there within every one of us, and it is the teacher of our lives. And it guides us when we are reading the Scripture, and it points us to your love, God. We just pray that you would continue to build those habits up within us, that you would remind us that we are not in this alone, but we have community around us and you right there beside us, Lord. And let us not fall into that trap that is perfection, where we miss a day and we beat ourselves up, Lord. Would you just continually remind us that it is not about perfection with you, but it is about growth and consistency and looking more like you. So I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.